The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send a swarm of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. And as Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Luke chapter 11, 14 to 28, the gospel lesson which was just read. The sermon title is Jesus and the Finger of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in one of the most popular religious books of the 20th century, C.S. Lewis, professor of Oxford University, took on the problem of modern ideas about the devil. His book, called The Screwtape Letters, is a fictional account of a demon who is training his apprentice in the ways of temptation. In his preface, Lewis noted that modern man has two erring approaches to the devil. Either intense interest, which includes belief in and practice of witchcraft, or complete unbelief. Either error can lead to serious consequences, as the book, The Screwtape Letters, demonstrate. When I was in high school, Hollywood got into act with the movie called The Exorcist. Some of you may remember that. It was a fictional account, but based on several true stories of exorcisms by Roman Catholic priests. When the topic came up in our Sunday school class, our teacher surprised us all by declaring that Satan and demons don't exist. Our Sunday school teacher said that their existence has been disproven by modern psychology and science. What was surprising about his declaration was that he was a devout Bible believer. He would not have been our Sunday school teacher if he wasn't. And he was not a higher critic of the Bible either. He just believed that psychology and science had all the answers to allegedly supernatural or paranormal events. So we have the question, do demons exist or not? Does modern psychology explain all such events or not? The vast majority of mental and emotional disturbances have nothing to do with the devil. So we'll give all that to the psychologists. Some maladies are caused by physical or hormonal abnormalities, in which case psychiatry has the ability to diagnose and cure the afflicted person. Some maladies are caused by sustained drug use, and psychiatry can also assist in that cure. Some maladies are not caused by physical problems, in which cases psychology has the ability to diagnose, in many cases, cure the afflicted person. And there are also many cases which defy the diagnosis or cures of either discipline, psychology or psychiatry. But just because doctors can't find the cure doesn't mean demons are at work. Why should we then admit that demons or the devil may be at work at all? Well, for Christians, the reason is that there are many stories of demonic possession in the Gospels and the Book of Acts. And these cases cannot simply be explained away with natural cause. In our Gospel, Jesus even talks about the work of the demons in the person that he cured. And if Jesus, who is the Son of God, says the demons are at work, then they're at work then, and they could still be active today. Put it simply, if Jesus believed in the devil, I believe in him too. Our gospel begins by telling us that the demon who possessed the man was mute. In all other cases of demonic possessions in the gospels, the demons were very talkative, so this is an exception to the rule. In this case, the demon did not talk, and it prevented the man who he possessed from talking. When the demon was cast out, the man began talking in a normal way. Most of the people who saw this recognized that this was the work of Jesus, that it was a type of miracle, and they were all, at least those who recognized that, were amazed. But not everybody was amazed. Some people mocked Jesus with these words. He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Others wanted to test his powers by asking for another miracle, and specifically for a sign out of heaven. And it was especially to the mockers and testers that Jesus addressed his discourse here in verses 17 to 26. I know it's long, but it's there. You have it in the bulletin in the insert there. Who was this demon called Beelzebul? He was one of the Canaanite gods, or at least the Canaanites knew him as such, and it was known to the people of Israel from the time of Joshua. The Canaanites were polytheists, which meant that they acknowledged the existence of and encouraged the worship of many gods. The principal gods of the Canaanites were known as the Baals and the Ashtoreths. They also had many lesser gods, which were the local deities of the regions or cities of Aram, Sidon, Moab, Ammon, and Philistia. And this can be seen in Judges chapter 10. The Philistines were people who lived along the Mediterranean Sea. The most popular of the Philistine gods was Dagon, who was worshipped at Gaza and Ashdod, and Beelzebul, who was worshipped at Ekron. Gaza, well, that's interesting. That's in the news these days. That was Dagon's home. Beelzebul is known to us through the story of King Ahaziah in 2 Kings chapter 1. King Ahaziah, an Israelite, had an injury and consulted the oracle of Beelzebul to see whether or not he would be healed. Elijah the prophet then told Ahaziah that he would die from his injuries because of his idolatry. And that's exactly what happened to King Ahaziah. Elijah lived about 800 years before Jesus. During that span of time, the Canaanite god Beelzebul was transformed from a beneficial deity to some type of demon. So the people of Jesus' day evidently thought that Beelzebul was the prince of demons. They thought that Beelzebul had the power to cast out other demons. And that is how they understood Jesus' miracles that were in this gospel. Now, in our gospel, Jesus did not acknowledge the existence or power of Beelzebul. He said, verse 18, "You people are saying this, that I cast out demons by Beelzebul." And the following statement in verse 19 is a hypothetical statement. "If I cast out demons by Beelzebul." So here Jesus gave Beelzebul, or that name, no credence whatsoever. But Jesus did, in verse 18, give credence to the work of Satan when he said, "If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand?" This was Jesus' chief rebuttal to those who thought that demons could drive out demons. The importance of exorcism for Jesus' ministry is indicated by verse 20, where Jesus says, "If it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." The casting out of demons was, therefore, one of the key pieces of evidence for the presence of the Messiah and the coming of his kingdom. The other evidences were those given to John the Baptist in Matthew 11, 4-5. Jesus there said, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Now, this explains why exorcism is very rare today. It doesn't mean there is no demonic activity or possession. It just means the ability to cast them out is very rare. It was accomplished by Jesus and the 12 apostles, and by very few ever since. Just like healing the blind, the lame, the lepers, and the deaf were accomplished by Jesus and the 12 as evidence of the kingdom of God, and also by very few ever since. Casting out demons is therefore evidence of the presence of the kingdom of God. It is not a routine or common phenomenon. Now, there are many Christians today who believe that they have prophetic, miraculous, or healing abilities. This belief is commonly found among most of the Pentecostal branches of the Christian churches. These same people believe that they can determine where demons are active and that they have the ability to cast them out. You may have even heard or seen such things on TV, since many TV evangelists are Pentecostal. Jesus warns you about this and these people. In Matthew 24:24-25, he says, "False Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and miracles, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Watch out! I've told you about this before it happens." That's an important warning for you to remember when you encounter these things. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. You thus have a perfect right to be skeptical of all alleged miracles and exorcisms, because Jesus told you right there, Matthew 24, to be skeptical. At the same time, you need to admit the possibility of demon possession, because Jesus and the apostles cast out demons, and they taught that Satan and demons were real. Should Christians worry about demon possession? No, not if you believe and you're baptized. But you should always be alert to the devil's temptations. Always. Peter writes, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So resist him by being steadfast in the faith." In Jesus, our Savior's name, who can cast out Satan with his finger. In Jesus' name, amen.